Hey, everybody, welcome back in to James, the book of James, chapter 1, second part, part 2. We're starting in verse 19, still outside, lots of noise and excitement because we encounter challenges, right, in life. So let's go right through it. Listen, there's a lot of stuff in the first part of James. If you missed it, go back and check it out. But I want to pray for us before we jump in here real quick. Father, just give us wisdom as we take time to read and listen to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's jump into it. Verse 19, I hope you have your Bible, physical Bible with you. New Living Translation is what I'm reading through here. Verse 19 of James chapter 1 says this. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow, listen to this, slow to get angry. Remember the old analogy of two ears, one mouth, right? Listen more than you speak. That's exactly what James is saying here. We need to be slow to speak, and slow then to get angry. You know, getting angry is something I got to be honest with you, I struggled with when I was younger. And even from time to time with four kids and businesses and being married over 23 years now almost, basically, it's just there's challenges that can come in life. And sometimes it can cause us to want to get angry and be fast to speak instead of slow to speak. And so it's important. When we take a look at God's word, it's telling us, listen, slow down. Listen more. Press pause. So important. And this is what God's telling us. Verse 20, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Verse 21, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts for as the power to save your souls. Notice it says humbly accept. That can be tough for us today as cultures, especially if we want to be in a place where it's me, myself, and I. We're listening to what WIIFM, what's in it for me? God's word says, no, 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 time out. You were created to do great things, yes, but we have to dial into our creator, which is God. That's why we got to slow down and we got to listen and take time and not get angry if possible. Learn to grow in that process. You're not going to fix it overnight, but you will improve at it as you focus on it. Anything we focus on, we improve in. You go to the gym, you're going to get stronger. You go drive a car, the first time you drive it, not so good. 50th time you drive it, you get better, right? You swim in the pool and you get lessons, you're going to get better. Anything you do, you're going to get better at as you do it. Playing sports, drawing, whatever it is, we get better as we go. So we want to say, and the point of looking at this word is, okay, this is what God's word is telling us. Let's honestly evaluate, how are we doing? Am I good? Am I not good? Do I get angry quick? Do I speak too fast? Or do I listen? Do I slow down? Do I evaluate myself, my response, my heart? Where am I at? That's the goal of listening to this, is to say, okay, you know what? Next time I'm going to respond to my spouse, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to try and look at it through a different lens. I'm going to say, God, how do you view my spouse? I know that you love her or love him. Please help me to look at her or him as though you look at her or him. Give me those eyes, Lord Jesus. Verse 21 says, so get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that God has planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls. I read that again, but it's so important. We got to slow down and humbly accept. Verse 22, and I have this highlighted, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. It's like going to the gym and your trainer says, here, you need to do this, 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 and you need to eat this, 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 and you need to not eat this, this, this. And you're like, all right, that sounds really good. Awesome. And then a week goes by and you come back and your trainer's like, all right, how did it go? You're like, you know what? I think it went pretty well. It went pretty good. Because I saw Jimmy over there. He's not doing great at all. I mean, he's like way more out of shape than I am. So I'm doing pretty good. Cool. Your trainer's like, how'd you do with this, this, this that I told you to do? And I told you to eat this, this, this. And I told you to not eat this, this, this. How'd you do with that? Well, you know, I had a lot of things that happened in my life over the last week. You know, just busyness, kids, life, and I didn't do so well. Okay, what's not doing so well? Well, I actually didn't do it at all. In other words, then all of a sudden you're down the journey of a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in, and you're frustrated now at the fact that you've been involved with a trainer, but you're not developing. That would be the old definition of insanity, right? I'd keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. So in order for you to be in a situation where you get different results, you have to do different things. You have to actually apply it. And that's what it's saying here in verse 22. It says, don't just listen to God's word. You hear this and you're like, you know what? That sounds good. I can see how that might make sense. I'm going to try and apply it to my life daily. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. Verse 23. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Wow. So it gives us a real simple example of what it looks like to actually do what the word says. Verse 26, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. It's interesting. I've experienced times in people's lives where you may interact with them and as they're operating daily, their conversation is okay, but then you go out and you hang out, and maybe they have a couple cocktails, and all of a sudden, their conversation changes. They're not controlling their tongue because what they've ingested has caused them to get a little bit more lax. And I think in life, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we controlling our tongue? What does that mean? Well, it means, are we kind when we speak to other people? Are we considerate when we speak to other people? Are we full of foul language, swear words? Is that our only vocabulary? I'm not telling you don't ever to swear. I'm just saying evaluate what it looks like. Like, are you harsh in your words, or are you kind in your words? Are you lifting people up instead of putting others down? Are you lifting yourself up and putting others down? These are all things that we have to think about as we communicate with other people. How do we continue to improve? And we don't see a lot of examples like this in our culture today. On social media or movies or whatever, we don't see a lot of people that are considerate and compassionate and caring. Our culture's almost run so fast that when we see that, it's almost like, gosh, that's something that I'm not used to. You know, from time to time, my family and I at night, we'll actually watch Little House on the Prairie. Now, I know that's old school, but we actually pull it out, we watch it. And one of the things that I love about that is it perfect? No. But it's a family where the father is there and considerate and caring and desirous to be with his family. It's a family where the father cares about his wife and is trying to take care of his wife and his family. It's a family where the wife understands that she has to be a part of that situation also. In the later episodes, the wife is actually working as well and being a part of that family. The kids are respectful to the parents. All the time? No. But when they get out of line, they get disciplined. And they value the discipline because they know their parents love and care for them. It's a model that I think we've lost in a lot of ways in our culture today. And one of the things that I think about with our kids, you may hear that and say, that's crazy. But with our kids, my desire is to try and reinforce into them the importance of what it looks like to have a family unit that is strong. Imagine what our culture would look like today if families actually were a unit, if kids were not disrespectful to parents. Maybe every once in a while, but they'd get disciplined and they'd appreciate that discipline. If fathers were actually plugged in and involved in the homes, they loved their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The wives were dedicated to the husband. Families were united because they were committed to one another. Now, does that mean there haven't been challenges in life? No. And listen, I've been married a long time. I've had challenges. We've gone through challenges. We've walked through counseling. We've walked through a period of separation. We've walked through issues, but we've stayed committed. And I think it's so important when we take a look at this. I know that all came out of the tongue, but the idea is it all starts there. And just like the Bible talks in other verses about the bit in a horse's mouth, how you can control this big animal by a small bit. And the tongue can spew joy and love and life, and it can spew hatred at the same time. So it's important for us to think about our tongue and what we say and how we say it. Verse 27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing, very important here, refusing to let the world corrupt you. Are you like the frog in the cold water, and then the warm water, and then eventually it gets boiled in the pot because it gets comfortable. Is that how you live and operate in the world, where there's so much distraction and challenge around you that you just say, you know what, it's everywhere, it's just not even worth fighting it, it's not even worth trying to do the right thing, because my kids are going to be so immune, or so, you know, immersed in culture, it's a losing battle. I got to tell you, and I want to encourage you in the reality that it is not a losing battle. Your kids love you, and they want to respect you, and they want to follow you. And as parents and as adults that are watching this and listening to this, the goal is to spur on the next generation by modeling truth. I'll leave you with this one last thought. And here's a question. This is not in James, because we're done with James chapter 1, but this is a question that I want to ask you, and that is this. Where do you want to be in 5 years in your life? Where do you want to be in your financial life? Where do you want to be in your physical life as far as health? Where do you want to be with your relationships? Where do you want to be emotionally? You want to be stronger or weaker? Where do you want to be in your general life in 5 years, laying out your goals? Where do you want to be? I want you to think about that. I want you to grab a sheet of paper, and I want you to write that down. And then I want you to challenge, and really my challenge to you is to evaluate daily the decisions that you make. Because the choices that you make, remember, you are where you are in life right now because of a series of choices that you have made. There's things that have happened in your life that you can control, but there's choices in relation to those things that you've made, which has caused you to be where you are. Now, if you say, this is where I want to be in 5 years, everybody's got 24 hours in a day, everybody has challenges, everybody has problems, this is where I want to be in 5 years, here's a question. What are you doing daily to make decisions to take you towards that goal? Because every choice that you make daily, what you eat, what you drink, what you listen to, the motivation you inspire in your mind, that you practice, what you read, how you refine, how you clean your house, how you clean your body, whatever you do, working out, all these things, these small little daily choices will do one of two things. They will either lead you and take you closer to your goals or further from your goals. That's it. It's as simple as that. This isn't rocket science. So think about what those goals are. If you're like, gosh, I'd really like to have a greater relationship with the God of this universe. I don't really know what this looks like. I'm not even sure that I fully believe this stuff, Mike, but I do know that I want to grow, and I do know that there's more out there than just me. Well, how are you going to achieve that? You got to spend daily time and discipline your life to grow in things that will take you closer to what really matters in life. That's my challenge to you. Hey, listen, be blessed. Share this with someone that needs to hear it. There are people in your friend group and your cell phone that you text on the daily with little memes or funny jokes that are going through challenges in life, and they need encouraged. Not from your words, not from my words, but from God's word. The best-selling book of all time from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has put it in print for us as a guidebook, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, Bible. It's here for you. Share this with someone that needs to hear it, all right? Be blessed, and we'll see you at James chapter 2. Have a good one.